Good evening. I am joined here today at the State Emergency Operations Center with Dr. Janae Khaldoun, our Chief Medical Officer, and Dr. Michael Rice, our State Superintendent of Public Instruction. We are here tonight because the number of presumptive positive cases for coronavirus in Michigan has increased. As of right now, there are 12 presumptive positive cases in Michigan. We had two yesterday. We are at 12 today. We expect more to come. We are taking these cases very seriously and will continue to take every step to mitigate spread of the virus and keep Michiganders safe. In an abundance of caution, I am ordering the closure of all K-12 school buildings in Michigan for 3 weeks, starting Monday, March 16th, until Sunday, April 5th. This is not a decision that I make lightly. A lot of districts have taken action and already closed themselves. And my fellow governors across the country, on both sides of the aisle, have ordered the closure of their schools as well in a number of states. This, we feel, is a necessary step to protect kids and teachers and families and our overall public health. I believe that school employees should continue to be paid as though schools are still in session. I know this will be a tough time for our parents and educators, and I urge businesses to do everything that they can to support employees at this time. Some parents will need to stay home with their children, and not every parent will have the ability to do so. Not every parent has paid leave, though I think they should. So businesses must step up and provide help if their employees need it. We are doing everything we can to ensure that our families have the support they need during school building closures. And we are working with our local school districts to provide guidance and help children who need it access food during this time. Our number one priority is keeping our families and citizens safe and healthy and mitigating the spread of this virus. Please do your part. Make smart choices during this time. Even if you feel healthy and are asymptomatic, you can unknowingly be carrying and spreading the virus. Assume that you are, and take these orders seriously to keep yourself and your loved ones, your coworkers, and people at risk of serious illness. Again, there are easy things that every one of us can do to lower risk in our state. Wash your hands often with soap and water and vigorously scrub them for at least 20 seconds. Practice touching your face less often. Replace handshakes with elbow bumps and cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze. I understand that what we are announcing today will prompt a lot of questions. We're going to do our best to answer as many as we can tonight, but there are some questions that we need to spend more time to work to get through. I ask you to bear with us as we work through to ensure the most accurate answers at the earliest possible moment. This is going to be hard, but we're going to get through this, and we're going to get through it together. Michiganders are tough. We stick together. In regard to the state workforce, I will be making a statement in the coming days. And with that, I'd like to hand it over at this time to our Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Janae Khaldoun.
Thank you, Governor. Today, we learned of 10 additional cases of presumptive positive cases of COVID-19 here in Michigan. This brings our total number of presumptive positive cases in the state to 12. These cases were tested in our state laboratory today. They include an adult female from Ingham County with a history of travel on a cruise, two adult females from Kent County, and one adult male, all with a history of international travel. An adult female from Montcalm County with history of international travel. Two adult males from Oakland County, one with no travel history and one with a history of domestic travel. An adult male from St. Clair County with a history of domestic travel. And one adult female and one adult male from Washtenaw County, one with a history of domestic travel and one with a history of international travel. We are working very closely with our local health departments to identify more information about these individuals. That will include identifying their close contacts, identifying when their symptoms started, who they may have been in contact with, and assessing those individuals for symptoms. We are testing 7 days a week in our state lab, and we know that other private labs are testing as well. We want our clinical providers across the state to keep doing the right thing, working with their local health departments and testing people as appropriate. I expect us to find more cases of this disease, and I expect there to be community spread. While we do not need to panic, this is very serious, and everyone must do their part to prevent the spread of this disease. Closing schools for a period of time is an important measure to prevent the spread of this disease. And as the governor mentioned, there are other measures that we can all take to prevent further spread. Washing hands frequently for 20 seconds every time. Cleaning frequently touched surfaces often. Covering your coughs and sneezes appropriately, and staying home if ill. Employers should encourage employees to stay home if they are ill. Staff should be encouraged to telework when feasible, and particularly people who are at risk of severe illness, the elderly, those with chronic medical conditions like lung disease and heart disease and diabetes, or with weakened immune systems. Long-term care facilities, nursing homes, and other institutions that take care of the elderly or those with chronic medical conditions should limit non-essential visitors as much as possible and screen staff and visitors for temperatures and respiratory symptoms prior to entry into the facility. The situation is rapidly evolving, and we will continue to monitor the number of cases across the state. I would like to especially thank our local health departments. They have been diligently every day on the ground, tracking cases, doing surveillance, and working hard to prevent the spread of this disease. I'd also like to thank the staff and the team at the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, who have also been working for several weeks to address this disease for the community. We will continue to work with all of you to prevent the spread of this disease as much as possible. Now I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Rice.
Thank you. Closing our K-12 schools, our pre-K-12 schools, is a responsible decision to keep our students, teachers, support staff, administrators, and volunteers safer and to mitigate the spread of coronavirus. I know this will be challenging, but staff at the Department of Education and I are prepared to work with Governor Whitmer, local school staff, and our partners across state government to get this right. There are many children in Michigan that rely on our schools for meals. We will be working with our local school districts to provide guidance to help children access food during this time. We appreciate the governor's swift action, and we will continue to work with our local school districts to help them through this challenging time. Thank you.
Thank you. Michiganders are some of the most resilient people in the nation and around the world, for that matter. We have faced and overcome many hardships throughout our state's history. If we take appropriate and responsible actions, we can mitigate the spread of this virus and save lives. As the chief executive of this state, it is my job to make these decisions to protect public health and keep our families safe. We had 2 cases yesterday. Today we have 12. We expect more to come. We expect a lot of questions, and we are going to navigate this with the best science and facts and move swiftly in an informed way and keep you informed as well. With that, I would be happy to take a few questions.
Governor, the state of Ohio said today that they believe they have about 100,000 cases or people infected. Even though Michigan only has a dozen cases right now, do you suspect that there are more infected? Do you have an estimate as to how many?
I'm going to ask Dr. Khaldun to answer a little bit of that question, but I'll just start with this. We've always known that the coronavirus would appear in Michigan. With all of the travel that happens and the aggressive nature of the spread of this virus, we knew that this day was going to come, and that's why I started the SEOC a few weeks ago to get up and running, created the task forces so that we could be swift and informed as we make decisions, and that's why these actions have been so important to help us be in this position now where we can move forward. With regard to predicting or having any sort of modeling about what that ultimately might look like in Michigan, I don't know if Dr. Khaldun can give you numbers, but I'm going to ask her to take a shot at responding to your question.
Thank you, Governor. So yes, right now we have 12 presumptive positive cases. I expect that there are more that we just don't know about yet. I don't know of a specific number. I can't give you that estimate at this time, but I do expect us to find more cases, and it is incredibly important that people who have been in contact with individuals who have confirmed disease contact their medical providers so that they can get tested appropriately so we can understand more about the disease in our state.
Dr. Khaldun, you might be able to answer this one too. How quickly are tests being turned around? I know you've said in the past there's a 4-hour turnaround, but is it longer once you take other items like transit time into account?
Yes, so the process for actually getting the lab test result is certainly longer than 4 hours. We are receiving them every day. As long as they get to our lab at a certain time, we're able to batch them and run them during that day. And we are doing our best to have them resulted within 24 hours at this time.
Dr. Khaldun, this might be another question for you as well. Do you feel like we have an adequate number of test kits in Michigan right now? And where are we at in the process of getting more from the federal government?
So as of today, my state lab has enough test kits for the volume that we have been seeing, and we've been running them every day. What's promising is that other private labs also have the ability to run those tests right now. But absolutely, I'm telling my clinicians, do not hold back if you think it is appropriate for someone to be tested. And so what that means is as we are continuing to test appropriately, as we start finding more cases, it is a possibility that we will run out of tests. So it's incredibly important that the federal government keeps up with that demand.
And to that point, do you think more people should start to get tested, even if they don't check all three of those boxes right now, as we're seeing more of this spread? Is that what you would like to see happen?
I think people, if they're concerned, they should have a conversation with their clinicians. I don't think everybody needs a test, but certainly it is up to the clinician's discretion. Doctors know what they're doing, and they know how to think about these individuals who may need a test.
Is there guidance for those?
There is guidance that includes the clinician using their discretion as far as a test needing to be done.
As far as the school closures go, are there considerations about like the school year being extended sometime in the future, or what type of impediments this might place in the way of like standardized testing?
So obviously there are ramifications to these decisions. We think that it's in the best interest of the health of our population to take these steps, but we are cognizant of the fact that a lot of children require special needs instruction. We are cognizant of the fact that we have a lot of children in Michigan who get two of their three meals in the school place. And so we are working through how we address those. Clearly, the question around standardized testing is one that we will grapple with, as will many states, frankly. What this means in terms of a school year at this juncture, this three-week closure lines up with the vast majority of spring breaks that are on the calendar, so it really is about 2 weeks. We're encouraging schools with which this doesn't line up with spring break, that they adjust and get back into, plan to be back into class on April 6th. All of that is dependent, of course, on where the facts take us and what we think is the appropriate and responsible thing in terms of starting class back up. But we did want to say these recommendations, this order is not in perpetuity as we need to adjust and extend. I will along the way, but it's always going to be with the guidance of our educators and, of course, our most importantly, our public health officials.
Dr. Khaldun, you mentioned earlier today that that some of the private lab data was not included in the state data that's on the website. When do you expect to start syncing that data between the private labs and the state labs so people have a more complete picture?
So we have to rely on how the current system works. So that would take data updates to our data system. Right now, we're trying to work closely with the labs to make sure at least the public health departments have the right information for those cases so that we can quickly do that contact tracing, identify who they may have been in touch with for the public health purposes. So, again, our website may not be up to date as far as all testing across the state, but we know that the public health departments are keeping up with the cases.
In that respect, too, in terms of contact tracing, we've heard a lot about the steps a person took after they left their flights. Are you contacting people who were on the flights with these people, since a lot of them were on airline travel at that time?
So that is work being done by our local health departments. They are, as appropriately, understanding who was in really close proximity to those cases, and then identifying those people, determining if they have symptoms, isolating them as appropriately.
Going back to the testing kits briefly, are you concerned about rationing of the kits right now? Is that happening?
We do have to make sure that certainly the highest risk individuals get the testing done. But again, at this point, this early, we need to get that data, and people should be tested so we understand how far widespread it is in the community. But I am concerned that the federal government may not be able to keep up with the demand for testing across the country.
Are you confident or worried that our hospital system may not have the resources necessary to handle an influx of patients as they start to become sick and cases become worse? Are we going to see situations that we're seeing in other states where tents are set up outside and patients are being held there?
So what's important and why we're doing such proactive community mitigation strategies is so that we can prevent those who are most vulnerable and most likely to get very sick, mm-hmm. like the elderly, from needing to come into the hospital. Most people who get the disease will have a mild illness and not need to stay in the hospital. So I am concerned about hospital capacity, certainly. As far as the tents and people being outside, what's most important is that people who may have the disease and are showing symptoms, we don't want them mixing with other people who are in our hospitals and emergency departments for other reasons who may also be vulnerable to getting severely ill. So we have to think hard and talk to our hospital partners about how we can implement those types of screening and testing measures that may be in a innovative way outside of what hospitals normally do.
What can the state do to ensure that the hospitals have the resources that they need?
We have to continue talking to them about their needs. We've got several calls and conversations that are happening on a daily basis. We are requesting additional personal protective equipment and masks, and we will continue to monitor the situation and make sure we are working hard to get them what they need.
Do the school closures also include like child care centers or early childhood development centers?
No. The closure is with regard to closing buildings to students.
Will child care centers be considered in the future?
If the program is something that is adjacent or attached to a school building, yes. Aside from that, no. At this juncture, we think that this is the right policy for a variety of reasons, and if that changes or if we feel as though we need to make an adjustment, we will certainly make that announcement. Okay. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for doing your part. We encourage every individual in our state, every business, every leader to do their part and to ensure that we are mitigating the spread of the coronavirus. As developments happen, we will keep you informed, and we will continue to make decisions based on the best science, the best practices, and always based on the facts. Thank you and good night.